This morning we're in John chapter 13. John chapter 13, we are embarking today on a new study on the words of Jesus' teaching as he is about to go to the cross. It's amazing that Jesus could take chapters 13, 14, 15, and 16 and teach his disciples when indeed it's less than 24 hours until he will die on the cross of Calvary. I'm thinking to myself, I wonder what I would have been able to do had I known that in less than 24 hours I would be crucified. Would I be able to gather this church together and give you four chapters of Scripture before I go? I mean, that is amazing that Jesus was able to do that. But again, he is the Son of God. So we're going to be looking at John chapters 13, 14, 15, and 16. And then we'll add on the prayer in chapter 17. And so these are very critical chapters in the Gospel of John. Very important truth is to be found here. And I hope as we look at this chapter 13, just a few verses of it today, that we'll be able to glean some precious truth that will help us and empower us to be true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray and ask God's help as we begin. Father, we thank you today for what you have done already in our midst this morning. We thank you for the teaching time in our Sunday school classes. We thank you now as we are now opening the Word of God. It is the truth. It is the living way. It is your word. It is a perfect word, and we can trust it and embrace it and obey it. And please help us to do that, not just today, but every day that we live. We ask that you might speak to us through the words that you gave to your disciples there in the upper room. As their little minds were probably being blown away by a lot of the things that you were telling them. They were just not really catching all of it yet, but one day they would. Help us to get it today. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to fill me now for the message. I trust and depend in you for that. You speak through me what you want to have said here today. We want to grow in you. This is your word that we're looking at. And we take it very, very seriously here at this church. So you lead us and guide us. We're trusting and depending in you for that. I'm not trusting in myself at all. So we look to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Much teaching is taking place now here in the upper room. It's a very intimate time of teaching by Jesus to his disciples right before he goes to the cross. We will gain as we go to this study with reverential hearts as we look to the Lord to speak to us. And so we're going to the upper room where this teaching time begins by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And what he's going to do for us right away, and what he did for them right away, was he gave an awesome demonstration of servanthood. There is no one who could serve like the Lord Jesus Christ. And so today we have many, many folks who follow in his steps and are serving the Lord. Servanthood is a major part of the Christian life. And the disciples are getting right now in the upper room a powerful demonstration of what it is to be a servant. Remember, there is no church at this moment. There is no church yet, but it's coming shortly. But the disciples are going to get right now in the upper room some clinics on what the Christian life is and what church life ought to be all about. So our first point this morning is the heart of the servant. The heart of the servant. As we consider John chapter 13, let us look at verse number 1. Verse number 1, now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having, notice, loved his own, which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. We see right away in verse number 1, the heart of a servant is a heart that is full of love for the people of God. That is a part of our servanthood. The first teaching is a heart of love. There's a story from the life of Tsar Nicholas I that sheds some light on what we're seeing here in the life of the Lord Jesus and his love for his disciples. Tsar Nicholas I had a friend who had a small boy. And this boy grew up, and Tsar Nicholas gave him a great responsibility to handle finances in a division of the army. Unfortunately, this young man became a gambler. He gambled away all of his own wealth, and then he started to gamble away the treasury of the army. He got news that there's going to be an audit of the money tomorrow. He did the math, and he decided, I am going to shoot myself at midnight. I cannot endure this. So he sat down and he wrote a little tiny note that said, a great debt, who can pay? Well, he dozed off, and he fell into a very deep sleep. And Tsar Nicholas, as he was known to do, was out visiting his troops. And so he was visiting his soldiers, and he happened to come to the area where this young man was. He found the young man asleep. He read the note. He thought, I'm going to have to arrest this guy. But no, he did not do that. He signed his name on the note, and he left. The young man got awake. He saw that Tsar Nicholas had signed his note. He realized his debt was paid. I'm not going to have to shoot myself now that he has signed the note. We see that the love of Tsar Nicholas is just a faint shadow of the love of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. His love is so much greater than the Tsar's. Nicholas' deed was as easy as signing a note. The love of Christ cost him everything he had, including his life on the cross of Calvary to atone for our sin. Jesus loved his disciples as we read from day one. He loved them from the moment that he called them to follow him. And this became Jesus' overriding continuous issue. He loved his brethren. He loved his disciples. He loved the people to whom he was ministering. He even loved those big, bad Pharisees and Sadducees. He loved everyone. And so, teaching his people to love was a primary focus of his teaching here in the upper room. He was saying, if you want to be my servants, if you want to be my disciples, then you are going to have to allow your hearts to deepen in the area of love, just as I have loved you. Jesus asked us the same question today. Are we willing to grow in our love this morning? Are we willing to allow Christ's love to grow in our hearts? For the people of this church, for your family of God here, for your neighbors, for the people that you run into out on the street. Jesus knew exactly who he was and what he was doing. He was following God's plan perfectly. He always did that. It was a perfect following. Jesus himself was literally royalty. He was the King of Kings, and here he is in the flesh, and a very humble flesh at that. He's royalty, and his love will flow out to His disciples to the uttermost. Secondly, this morning is the example of the servant. The example of the servant. Look at John 13, verses 2 through 11. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into His hands, and that He was come from God and went to God, He riseth from supper, and laid aside His garments, and took a towel, and girded Himself. After that He poured water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith He was girded. Then cometh He to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto Him, Lord, dost Thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do Thou knowest not now, but Thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto Him, Thou shalt never, it's not good to say that, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore, said he, ye are not all clean. So here's Jesus, his disciples, and they are in the upper room. They are alone, and they are commemorating the Passover meal. So the disciples are reclined all around this table, as was the custom. Their feet are all pointing away in a circle around this table. There's 13 of them there. Big group. And so here's the Lord Jesus. What does He do? He gets up from His couch. He gets up from where He was reclining and celebrating the Passover feast. And He performs the last literal labor of His life here on earth. He lays aside His garments, He wraps a towel around Himself, and He begins one by one to wash His disciples' feet. His actions were a portrayal of His whole life, from birth to death to resurrection. This was the life of Christ. He was a servant all the time, 24/7. If you'll turn with me to Philippians chapter 2, keep your finger there in John 13. Go to Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 9. This scripture depicts what Jesus did, and it depicts His whole life exactly. These are familiar words to us here this morning. Philippians 2, 5 through 9. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself, He emptied Himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted Him, and given Him a name which is above every name, the name of Jesus. And here in our text, here is our Savior washing the feet of His disciples. Jesus' whole life was dominated by His service. In Matthew 20, verse 28, we read, Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life a ransom for many. And that's us here this morning. So here's the Lord Jesus. He has laid aside his garments. He has picked up the towel. He has poured the water. And now he starts to go around this circle, around the table. And you kind of wonder, what was Jesus thinking about each person as he got to them? Who did he start with? Which way around the table did he go? Well, we don't know any of that at all. But it would be interesting. So, as he's doing this, he's washing the feet of Judas, who will soon betray him that night. Wow. He's washing the feet of the betrayer. He comes to John, the youngest, the beloved disciple, and he thinks one day he's going to write the book of Revelation. Yeah. And as Jesus goes around the table, he gets to one man in particular whose feet are size 13 double D. And we all know who that is. That's Peter. And, Peter, he breaks the silence. And sometimes he opens his mouth only to change feet. And he says, no, you're not going to wash my feet. Just rushes in there, brash, he's thinking it, he says it, that's the way he was. You're not doing this, only servants do that. Well, Peter changes his feet and his speech in a hurry. And I'm not here to fault Peter this morning. I believe Peter would be a really fun guy to be around. I would love to hang around with Peter. We know a few things about him. He was a really good fisherman. I know there are some fishermen here this morning, love to fish. Peter could run. He ran to the tomb. We know Peter could tell lies. I don't know this man. And the cock crows, just like Jesus said. We also know that Peter swung. He would swing his sword badly. He just got the ear. He was not good at swinging his sword. He needed some real practice at that. But you know what? All that is going to be behind him, and he's going to preach. And literally thousands will be saved. That's the way to end up. You start out badly, but you end up really good. That is the way to do it. We're not going to talk about the World Series here this morning. So Peter swings his remarks in the opposite direction. Okay, then, I want you to wash all of me. Not just my feet, but the whole deal. And Jesus squares him away in verses 10 and 11. And I want to call your attention back to those two verses, 10 and 11. Jesus saith to him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore, he said, ye are not all clean. So these verses stick out to us here in our text this morning, and there's a lot of good meat here. When someone takes a bath in those days in Jesus' life, when you would take a bath, you are clean. And then let's say you're invited down the street to a neighbor's for dinner, and you get down to that house, you don't need a bath again, you need just your feet to be washed, because they got all dusty coming down the road. All right, now this is going to be significant things about these two things happening here. And so, as justified believers here this morning, and those disciples, they did not need a radical new cleansing, but rather a daily cleansing for the contaminating effect of their sin. So, when Jesus finished the last disciple's feet, he arose and he put on his garments again and returned to his seat. and the teaching time would continue. Similarly, after the Lord Jesus atoned for our sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Now, I want us to go back to verse number 10 and look at a few little things here. Jesus saith unto him in verse 10, He that is washed. All right, now you need to think, he that is bathed. He has had a whole bath. Or today, most of us, I think most of us, we do the shower thing. I better not take a poll, but who likes what better? But, you know, but anyway, the deal is, you're clean. So Jesus says, he that is bathed, totally clean. You don't need saved to but wash your feet. So, what's he talking about here? When Jesus is saying bathed here, that speaks of our eternal salvation. We have been washed, we have been bathed in the blood of the Lamb. That is done. It is a done deal. We possess eternal life here this morning. We have been bathed, as Jesus says here in verse number 10. And then he goes on in verse number 10 to say, needeth not save to wash his feet. Now he's talking about the daily cleansing, the daily confession of sin. But I like to take this a lot further than once a day cleansing of sin. Personally, I like to get those things confessed as they happen. You know, my habit is I confess all day long. And mostly what I need to confess is those thoughts that go through this hard head. And the Holy Spirit, He's quick. I mean, when I think them, He's right there. Hey, need to get that confessed right now. I don't know if that's how you do it. But that's how I do it. When the Holy Spirit is knocking and He says, hey, you need to confess that. That's when you do it. Right now, you don't wait till Betty Bye time. Don't wait till we hit that pillow. No, we take care of it right away. We cleanse. We get sanctified. We get this thing fixed. We don't build a wall in our fellowship between us and our God. And so we are here this morning, we have been bathed in the blood of the Lamb, and we have our daily times of confession. And then Jesus goes on, as he says, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. In other words, you are bathed and you are washed. You are saved and you confess your sins daily. You are clean totally. And that's the way to be. Be clean. And be clean all day as much as possible. Confess as you go. And then he says, ye are clean, but not all. In other words, there's 11 of you here in this room that are saved. There are 11 of you who are following me. But not all. There's one of you, Judas, and he knew who the rest of them didn't know, but he knew. Judas was that but not all person. For he knew who should betray him. Therefore, said he, ye are not all clean. Judas is not saved. Now, when we think about the Lord Jesus and his ministry on earth, wherever he seemed to go, there were great crowds of people following him, were there not? And they witnessed his great power. They witnessed the healing of people's bodies. They witnessed the fact that he healed every single person in town that was sick. Many of them got to see him raise people from the dead. On occasions, thousands were fed by him. And so it was these things that Jesus did that held their attention. Most of these people were not followers. They were not disciples of the Lord Jesus. Remember what happens? They're following, and then Jesus comes to a teaching time like he does here in chapter 13, and the people say, you know what? Don't think I'm going there. And they quit following the Savior. But we also read many times, I like to try and note make a note in my Bible, where it says, and many believed on him. So there were many who believed, and there were many that did not. So many people abandoned the Lord Jesus when he talked about this word commitment. Jesus is looking for disciples. Disciples are people who are committed to him. And so when he would talk about commitment, these are hard sayings. Who can handle this? Who can do this? And they ceased following after the Lord Jesus. Why? Because they had not believed on him. They have not believed on him. Salvation and discipleship are two different things, but they are related. Salvation has to do with the cross of Jesus. Discipleship has to do with my cross. What did Jesus say? Pick up your cross and follow me. That's being a disciple. Salvation was done by Jesus on the cross of Calvary. He has secured that. So salvation has to do with the cross of Christ. Discipleship has to do with my cross, my discipleship, my following him. So salvation is a once and done deal. When we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, we repented of our sins and accepted him as our Savior. That is a done deal. Discipleship is something that should be continuing from that moment of salvation till the day that we drop and go home to the best life ever. So discipleship, it is a big deal. Discipleship is an everyday commitment. So we also need to remember another truth, another fact, and that is, you can be saved and not be a disciple. That's where the rubber meets the road. And that's what's happening as Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's talking to them right before the cross, and he's laying down truth and great principles and great teaching that they're going to need for after the cross when the church is started, so that they can love the people of God, so that they can serve the people of God, so that they can be just like Jesus. And so that has to be our goal this morning. We need to be just like Jesus. If you're a disciple today, you'll follow hard after him. Let us pray. Father, we thank you this morning for the great truth of your word. Thank you for the great example of our wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. What a great Savior we have. We thank you for the demonstration of Jesus in his life. We can read about it. We can meditate about it. We can become it. And Lord, please help us to do that. Help us to be that till the day that we die. Lord, help us to pick up that cross and follow you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.